Boy, the internet quarterback coaches were out in full force yesterday.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Wednesday, the day after an elite Auburn sports day. You had spring practice first day, even though the quarterback coaches of the internet, Auburn fans, and then across the country were set ablaze by a controversial, and I say controversial in quotation marks, throwing motion from Byron Brown. We're going to look at that and talk about it. We're going to talk about the NIT win. We're going to talk about the baseball win. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Active Wealth Management and Ford Stokes. Dadgummit. I wonder if Ford Stokes is concerned about Byron Brown's throwing motion. But I know what he's not concerned about, and that's helping you get to retirement. Give him a call, get a complimentary portfolio analysis, Social Security maximization report, and a financial plan to your 95th birthday, a $2,800 value, absolutely free. Show him some love. Don't give your money to Bammers. Give them to Ford Stokes. Give it to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. All right, let's jump into it. Look, this is so on brand for Auburn fans, and it's on brand for the rest of the country too. Anytime Auburn, there can be a headline that can be somewhat negative. It's not even like a real story almost. They're going to throw it out there. But it all boiled around, all circled around Byron Brown's throwing motion, which to me is a shock that like nobody's seen this before. Guys, he's played 3 years, 4 years of college football. There's 4 years of film on this kid and the way he throws the ball. So, like, to me, it's a shock that it's different. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to show you some clips of three throws in particular. Shout out Justin Hokinson from On Three for the footage. I never really got any good footage while I was there, but this is some good idea of the particular motion in question that is just setting the world on fire. Hopefully the music in the background doesn't get me demonetized for this particular video. But yeah, so look, it's longer. There's no doubt about it. And it has a little down up motion. Okay. And so on first glance, it's just different, you know, but I want to compare it to, you look at the way Jason Campbell threw the ball. I mean, if we're Auburn fans, let's look at an Auburn comparison. I wanted to go back and pull film, but all I could find was really like game footage. And again, you can't put game footage on these type videos. But Jason Campbell had a very long release. They really tightened it up in the NFL. But he had also that down-up wind-up motion. Tim Tebow, another one, a down-up wind-up motion. It's not so much the release angle. I see some people say throwing from the side. Like, that's not really the biggest thing that people care about as much as it's like taking the ball down and not down and then back up, like the circular loop motion. And look, I can totally get, like, on the surface, I understand the arguments around it. If this is the first time this kid's played football, hey, you could have accuracy issues, you could have velocity issues, and then you could have timing issues. But the problem is, like I said earlier, we have 4 years of film of success from this guy, regardless of level. His arm strength is incredible. So if you're worried about timing, he makes up for it with arm strength. His accuracy is well above par. Anything around 65% in college is incredible. Like, that is, I'll take that today. If you told me by the end of the year that 65% is where Byron Brown will be, I will be ecstatic. I see people talking about, yeah, I mentioned Jason Campbell. Jason Campbell completed nearly 70% of his passes with that same motion. Arch Manning. Everybody thinks Arch Manning is the next coming of the next great Manning. You know, he's one of the best returning SEC quarterbacks for whatever reason. He has a very similar motion. It's a down up, like a little hitch in the way that he throws the ball. I mentioned Tim Tebow earlier. Tim Tebow, it did affect his accuracy, but he also carried the ball like 30 times a game. So what type of production does the guy have? Okay. Look at the production. Look at who he's done it against. You'll say, oh, that. What about the SEC where defenses are faster and defenses close on the ball quicker, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I've already talked about this on a lot of shows, but of all the SEC teams plus Carson Beck that competed against Florida last year, and Byron did it on the road, he had more offensive production against Florida as a quarterback than any of those guys from a yards perspective. Threw for well over 250. I think he threw for like 260-something yards, completed a decent amount of his passes, and ran for a pile of yards too. I don't understand why we latch on to something as a fan base and go into full-blown panic mode at the drop of a hat. We're such betas sometimes. Like, you got a guy, this guy walks into the building, and literally everyone on the team, as well as returning guys that have been at Auburn for 3 years, look at this guy as a freaking leader right now, as the team. They acknowledge him as the guy. He breaks them down at practice, to start practice. He breaks them down at the end. I don't get it. We haven't had a guy like this. Do you want great mechanics? Like, Jackson Arnold had phenomenal mechanics. Peyton Thorne had phenomenal mechanics. Like, is it mechanics that we want, or is it just we want to try to find something to gripe about after what I thought was a successful first day of practice? It didn't feel like a first day of practice. It felt like they had already planned for practice, and then they were not planning during practice. They came out and they got to work. Byron came out, he got to work. Just from those clips, like the accuracy, like it's clearly not affecting that. You know, I used this analogy before on the Barncast last night, and maybe even on one of the shows yesterday that we did. But when you're playing golf, there's a common saying, like, if you score it really ugly, you slap it around, but somehow you still make par. The you chip in or what, make a long putt, whatever. The saying is, you don't got to draw a picture on the card. You don't got to draw a picture on how you got there. Same thing here. I couldn't care less if he punted the ball to these guys. I wouldn't care if he threw it underhanded. I wouldn't care if he threw it backwards. If he's completing 65+% of his passes, he's throwing for over 3,000 yards. Who cares? So I'm fired up for Byron Brown. I don't understand. It's just really on brand after the first day for Auburn fans to kind of go in that particular direction. It wasn't just Auburn fans, by the way. Look, the national media had fun with it. Alabama fans had fun with it. I think they're scared, if I'm just going to be honest. I think they're scared. This kid's probably about to tear up the SEC, and I'm here for it. So, exactly, JJ. Enjoy the sausage. Who cares how it's made? I close my eyes. Don't care. Byron Brown's a stud. All right, let's talk basketball. We're going to talk about a couple of other things, baseball as well. Huge win here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, where car care meets hospitality at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans in Opelika. Guys, look, every time you go into a car shop or auto shop, you feel like you're going to be ripped off. You feel dirty. You feel like you're going to be lied to. They really look at this as a long-term relationship. They want you to come back to them over and over again. So they're going to be honest. They're going to give you the truth straight up. They're going to tell you, hey, it needs to be fixed now, or hey, it maybe need to be fixed down the road a little bit. But I want to put it on your radar. Guys you can trust, ask for Cody. Tell him we sent you. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And also give a shout-out to Roback.com. Use coupon code BARN20 to take 20% off your order. Got a Roback order coming this week. Cannot wait to get it. Got some new hoodies on the way. Fired up. They got hoodies, polos, all that stuff. And then they have Auburn licensed apparel as well. Show them some love. It's Roback.com. We'll be back right after this. Auburn dominates. Not really. South Alabama is a win. Their first round game in the NIT. 17.5 point favorites. I think won by 11. It was sketchy there for a while. I think the Auburn got down by double digits. Cut it to 6 points at halftime and then had a really, really, really good offensive second half. Scored 48 points in the second half. I think the story, there's a couple of different storylines of this game. Like the first one, obviously, Keyshawn Murphy declining to play, opting out. And there's so many different directions you can go with that. The way I choose to go with it is, Keyshawn Murphy can't help Auburn next year. So Philip Jovich needed to get as much possible run as possible. Sway needed as much run as possible. Any guy that plays more of a big needs to play as much as possible. Now, this is crazy to me, okay? And this is pretty rare as well. So if you had to pick a Keyshawn on who would leave Auburn at the altar, it would probably not be Keyshawn Murphy, and it would probably be Keyshawn Hall. Keyshawn Hall played 40 minutes last night. In case you did not know, a basketball game is 40 minutes. Every minute that could be played, Keyshawn Hall played it. Props to him. For a while, he was the only person scoring. Literally that first half, I think he scored all of our points. I'm being a little bit facetious, but he played really good, played good defense. He had 6 big rebounds, 21 points. So for all the hate that he's gotten, and a lot of it's earned, hats off to him. That was a really good job yesterday. So obviously Keyshawn Murphy was one of the big storylines, and then Cade Magwood has to be a storyline because we never saw him all year. We never saw him at all. He finally gets in towards the end of, I think, the second half, hits a three. I think he shoots 2 in the first half, hits one of them. And then going into the second half, there was a long stretch of time where Tahad Pettiford did not play. As a matter of fact, Tahad only played 23 minutes. Cade Magwood got 17 in. And then he started hitting some more shots. He started hitting some more threes. He hit all 3 of his free throws. Only had 1 really bad turnover. And I think a lot of people are like, dang, man, if you would have put Magwood in, we would have made the tournament. I'm taking a little page from Daryl Dapprich because that was hilarious last night, by the way. And we got more Barn Cats coming your way. There, if you're Stephen Pearl, you're happy for Magwood probably, but that's probably one of the worst things that could have happened is Magwood to go in and score a bunch of points, because that's what everybody's going to be doing. Everybody's going to be asking these questions now. Everybody's going to be second-guessing him, blaming him. Oh, man, if we would have played this guy, we would have been better. And look, at the end of the day, Auburn was favored by 17.5 points, okay? So I know they didn't win by 17.5 points. I know they played sloppy, particularly in the first half. But they absolutely blew out the second half. And those are the kind. This would be the kind of game that Magwood would get in like November, late November or early December, when you're up by 20, like midway through the second half. And he'd go in and he'd probably have some success. That's just the kind of game this was in reality. I know we tried to build it up bigger than it is, but in reality, this is a November-ish, early December game that you blow these guys out and you get other players run, and sometimes those guys succeed. mean, that's what this was. And I'm not taking anything away from him. You still got to go hit the shots. He was 3 of 7 from three. Not bad. I'll take that. 4 of 8 overall. Made a nice little layup too. And then he was 3 of 3 from the line. Scored 14 points. So awesome for him. No idea what that means as far as his future for Auburn. But let's not overinflate who the opponent was and like build this up into like that was the key to unlocking the NCAA tournament, and Steven just refused to do it. I think that's a silly narrative. Switch gears. We don't know when we play yet. I think they have to wait until a lot of these NIT games are over. At least I haven't seen it when we actually play. So when we do, we'll announce. Obviously, it'll be announced, and then we'll have a barn cast for that game as well. So that last night was probably the best barn cast we ever had. I was literally in stitches. I've gotten so many texts, so many comments, so many private messages about how last night was epic. So even though it's the NIT, make sure you're there for the barn cast because they are an absolute, absolute blast. And we're going to do everyone we got, we're going to do it. So I see a lot of the same folks that were in there last night in the chat today. So good stuff. Baseball, man, the most impressive win of the day. And maybe most impressive win of the year is Auburn just absolutely shellacks Georgia Tech. Jumped on them early and just beat their brains in. I couldn't have been more happy to the way that game played out. I think it really, really set Auburn on a just rocket ship trajectory. Auburn wins 9-2, 11 hits, completely shut Georgia Tech down. I think they're one of the best offenses in college baseball. Just completely shut them down. So really, really good stuff. We're stealing bases in the eighth inning. Like, just no mercy. Run it up, man. It was a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch. A lot of home runs. It just, you were a little shaky after that first inning. I think you walked a guy, had a wild pickoff, advanced the dude. It was not even an earned run. Like, it was so bad, it was not even an earned run. And then Auburn just put their foot on the gas and keeps going. And then you play Texas this weekend, and Texas just got dropped by Tarleton State. They're like the number one team in the country. So, you know, this baseball team, man, could come right out of the gates and take down number five, go win a series against number one, and you're off to the races. You've already swept an SEC opponent last weekend. I mean, we may need to start looking at hotel rooms and Airbnbs in Oklahoma. I mean, it may be time. Or Omaha, I'm sorry, Omaha, not Oklahoma, in Omaha. A lot of fun. Fun stadium, fun team to watch. Those bats are fun. They really spray it, man. They spray it, and they'll hit a home run on you in a heartbeat. So, fun game. Did anybody go to both? Did anybody go to that one and then hopped over to the arena? That would have been a fun game, fun day. So, good stuff yesterday. If you're freaking out over the Byron Brown stuff, just stop. Just stop, man. First practice, like, the world is not ending, and there's nothing wrong with how you get the job done, as long as you get it done. And so far, all he's done is get the job done. Guys, I really appreciate it. These lives are fun every morning. We're going to have tons of shows all day long, so make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you like this video. Make sure that you have your alert bell set so that you know when the next content piece drops. We're going to be here all week. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.